might be a pretty face looking back at me. Might be out of conversation piece. Might be another wasted memory, but I'd like to wait and see. Might be first date on a city street. Might be a kiss to bring me to my knees. Might be the holder of my front door key. And I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. So glad you walked into my life, into my fix-it-up life.
And you're inside my fix-it-up life with Mark and Teresa.
And today it's all about rocking a can-do attitude with the cool wind of a powerhouse soul.
We're on site at Rebuilding Together's National Building a Healthy Neighborhood Project, helping the Philadelphia community of Overbrook to embrace possibility and pound down pessimism.
And step one to an incandescent tomorrow is a jump, a swing, and a place to play. HGTV's Carter Oosterhaus is lighting it up, building a playground, and the appetite for healthy living with his play-promoting nonprofit Carter's Kids.
And we talk healthy thriving from food to fauna and education to environment with the executive director of the Overbrook Environmental Education Center, Jerome Chavez.
And Rebuilding Together takes a break from their 30 home fix-ups to check us down on why healthy community makes life better for everyone.
Then we cut to the soul of the matter with Mimi Vox, executive director of the John Bon Jovi Soul Foundation, to fight off forces that can hold our neighborhoods back.
So when the world keeps trying to drag you down, you gotta raise your hands and stand your ground. The future starts now.
So have a nice day on my Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. Into my fix-it-up life, crazy fix-it-up life.
My fix-it-up life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
And you're back inside my Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. We're here at gorgeous sunny day.
Yes,
the Overbrook Center.
In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Missouri.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I am so excited that we're here. And I was really excited when I heard from Carrie from Rebuilding Together Philadelphia that you guys were going to be doing this project, you know, fixing up 30 homes in the Overbrook neighborhood and doing this playground here at the Overbrook Environmental Education Center.
And your project added to it as well, the bridge you're building over the rainstorm.
Well, it is fun that we can participate and build a bridge here.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the kind of project that my husband, Mark, really gets behind.
Oh, I love doing this kind of stuff. And we couldn't do it without Andy Doyle and Doyle Remodeling, by the way.
No, we couldn't.
Who has volunteered all kinds of time.
And, you know, Nari, too.
And Nari,
yes.
And Culpeper Wood Preservers, and Nice Lumber.
This portion brought to you by everyone.
Also Coca-Cola. Turns out that Bud Light.
Well, for everybody listening in Philadelphia, you have to go to BAHN2012.org mm-hmm. and find out what's going on today, because there is an event from 10 to 3. Mm-hmm. All kinds of information you can learn about healthy living mm-hmm. in the Overbrook neighborhood.
We're having a resource fair at the top of the street.
And Carrie Rathman, who's executive director of Rebuilding Together Philadelphia.org. I don't know where that part came from.
RebuildingPhilly.org.
But that's who we're talking with, by the way.
RebuildingPhilly.org.
And can you tell us a little bit more about that resource center and what its goals are?
So because we're doing all the work to the homes and doing changing vulnerable housing stock to healthy and safe homes, and then also doing work to sustain the community so it's healthy and safe and vibrant. It also made sense to provide other resources to the homeowners and residents in the community as well. So we have a bunch of other organizations out providing free service today up at the corner of 62nd and Lebanon in the Overbrook Elementary School parking lot. So people should definitely come out and join us.
And there are a lot of organizations that are there. The Diabetes Association is there, and some other really good organizations, local organizations that you can learn about, you know, environmental causes and all kinds of things in the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, something that Carrie talks about sometimes and is elemental to rebuilding together is it's not just about putting shingles on a house mm-hmm. or cleaning up a vacant lot. It's about the whole neighborhood portion mm-hmm. of home ownership and investment in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. So this is sort of a revitalization project at its best. We're working in 30 homes doing a myriad of repairs in each one. We're landscaping the entire street. We poured some new sidewalks. Then there's a playground for the residents to use. We've done some work here to the Overbrook Environmental Education Center so they can continue to serve more people and provide more services. So it's like an urban barn raising.
And you know what I like about you is that you're not just like any kind of other person in charge of an organization. I mean, you were right before talking with us, you were like picking up dirt and all kinds of stuff, like rocks and stuff. I mean, I've seen you carry all kinds of things, riding on the back of golf carts, carrying like trash cans and stuff. Like you're all over the place getting your hands dirty. And then there was an event last night and you left for 5 minutes, came back and you're wearing a gorgeous dress and cute high heels. So you're just like a superwoman.
Well, I think that that's indicative of rebuilding together in general. There's 200 affiliates across the country and all the people involved, all the staff, all the executive directors. And that just sort of speaks to how we are as an organization, for sure.
Well, I base your skill set on the amount of keys that you have.
How many keys?
Good.
Well,
she's got 1,000 keys over
here. Genius, then. So many keys.
She does have a lot of keys.
She needs an extra carabiner and an extra belt loop to hold those on.
Of course, you're impressed by the number of
keys.
Well,
of course, you've got to.
I'm checking out her high heel shoes, and you're.
I saw the high heel shoes last night too. I'm not blind.
Oh.
You just said it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's do everything twice. So let's talk about your dress again.
Well, I want to tell to everybody that's listening, you have to follow them on Twitter too. It's RT Philadelphia, right? Yes.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
To find out about all the projects that you guys are doing, you can mm-hmm. volunteer, you can get involved in Philadelphia, you know, you can lend a hand for a day, for half a day, whatever you mm-hmm. have to help out and to try to, you know, help people that live in our community
Absolutely.
Have a better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a spot for everyone. So we welcome all skill sets from professional contractors and skilled trades to whatever. We can find a seat for you that's going to make a meaningful difference and impact in someone's life. So
that, you know, that is a beautiful sentiment. And I want to both embrace that and then skate over it to ask what's been the craziest part of this project? Because you're working on 30 houses.
Yeah, the logistics of, so it's been 3 days, 1,000 volunteers, 30 homes. So just the overall logistics and the playground.
1,000 volunteers.
1,000 volunteers.
That is,
I don't know what the
huge.
Final count is today, but even if we got less than we anticipated today, we've been well over 350 each day. So, but Lowe's has made it very easy with the logistics part because they are the presenting sponsor for this project, and they've been incredible. When we need something, they've been sending out, what do you call the driver guys, the little...
Oh, I know what you're going for, the piggybacks.
The piggybacks. So they've been scooting things around where we thought we needed manpower to do it. They're installing appliances right now. Every time we need something, we've been yelling, Lowe's, come help us, and they've come right out.
So everybody that's, you know, getting ready to go out and buy something at a home improvement center, go to Lowe's today to help support them because they're supporting your community now.
And it's not just with piggybacks and drivers and employees that are volunteering their time. It's with real money. I mean,
they put a lot of money behind this. They are the presenting sponsor, and they've just been an incredible support. And it's also a joint project between Rebuilding Together, our national office, and here, Rebuilding Together Philadelphia. And here, both at our national office and here in Philadelphia, we have incredible staff And incredible volunteers who make this all happen. And we have AmeriCorps working with us. Several AmeriCorps Capacity Corps people from rebuilding affiliates around the country have come for a week to help us. So it's really been a joint effort in this barn.
They've come from all around the country?
They have.
Really?
We have folks in from California and Denver and Maryland. So it's been a wonderful experience.
And at the
and the community. I forgot. The community's been terrific, too. There's so many homeowners and residents and neighbors out working on the street.
And that's one of the things that I love, because we were at a Rebuilding Together project a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And being at this project, what's really fun is kind of seeing people come out of their houses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that kind of the leave behind is that I think that the neighbors sort of know each other a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Or ones that didn't really talk before have an opportunity to get together.
Absolutely.
And to be better connected, which mm-hmm. then helps the neighborhood even more. And you know, just not fixing it up physically.
Absolutely.
But fixing it up, you know, as a whole.
Sort of being invested in it emotionally.
Yes.
As community,
mm-hmm.
as material, as money.
Absolutely.
As stuff to care about.
We right now have one neighbor started cleaning another stuff as we go to move it in the house, and knew they, after talking to the neighbor, realized that they needed a new table, and they're scattering around seeing who has different tables and chairs to give this one guy on the street.
Well, you're going to have to check out rebuildingphilly.org. Check them out on Facebook at Rebuilding Philly. Get out and volunteer. It's a good way to give back, feel good.
And we got to go to break.
We'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life.
Hope is that we can leave it slightly better than before. Oh, do you remember me? I remember all I see.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
I don't think I feel so alive, so at home, so alive.
Back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are back outside at Rebuilding Philly's
Overbrook. We're still outside. We're still outside on a nice sunny day.
I need some sunscreen.
And you?
I'm not going in.
I put sunscreen on you this morning,
didn't
I? I
need more. It's that beautiful.
Well, you're itching to get you know, your tool belt on and to finish this bridge project that we're doing here at the Overbrook Environmental Education Center.
That's right. And we're joined by... I believe your title here is Head Muckety Muck. I've got that written down. Jerome Shabazz, yeah.
The Muckety mastermind. The Overbrook mastermind. Yeah.
I say that because Jerome approaches this.
Well, how many keys do you have?
Just one set today.
Oh.
Today. So he's got multi-day keys, which is very important.
Days of the week keys. That's good.
But, no, I say that jokingly, one, because he's a nice guy, but two, because he approaches what's happening here from every level, economics, the environment itself, water management, food management, macro-micro, I guess, is a better way to say that.
Good term.
And
that's like being able to see near and far sight at the same, you know, being able to have.
That's why they call me Hawkeye.
Look,
yeah.
No one calls me that. But Jerome, if you could, and I know it's a long conversation, but kind of in a nutshell, what are you doing here? What's your goal at the Overbrook Center?
We demonstrate the possibilities around sustainability, healthy lifestyles, and vibrant communities. That's what we do.
I like it.
Yeah. And that sounds awesome. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
We walk up to the mm-hmm. front door and we come in. What can we do?
Yeah. Can All I right. get some possibility, please?
Yes. There's some possibility. The possibilities around what does it look like to grow food in an urban community? We focus on urban settings and what happens in urban environments, what kind of plants can grow, how much water we can contain, what is it look like to bring what we usually find in suburban areas and rural areas into urban environments for the people who do not want to spend the time or have the money to take cars and to travel into the remote areas and the outskirts of Philadelphia? How about importing some of that beauty back into your neighborhood?
Now, I like that. Is that open for people of all ages, little people all the way up to big people?
Yes.
Okay.
Our model here is to have intergenerational family-based activity.
Okay.
So there are systems in place for the adults, and there now a wonderful playground here for young people, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And from the food point of view, it doesn't look like you have a garden right here. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, we just installed a high tunnel greenhouse system that was established through Penn State Extensions.
Okay.
And many, many partners throughout the region to allow us to do one of the first approved greenhouse houses and elevated greenhouses in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And that's part of our Overbrook Healthy Start program, from the garden to the table.
From the
garden to the table. The idea is to establish local food production, grow it, learn how to prepare it, and to serve it so that you can have food, healthy food available in the community at all times.
And just from that standpoint, I mean, you should stop by and see the greenhouse and just stop by and, you know, experience the whole thing in Philadelphia. Because that's, as you said, it's a unique thing here in Philadelphia to be able to see and to be able to experience. So where do they stop by? What's the address here?
6134 Lancaster Avenue.
Okay.
You're lucky you knew that.
Ah.
If you asked me where you live, I'd be like,
you may have a lot of trouble. You have to pull out his
license.
It's
the third house on the left.
Let me check. Right?
Yeah. It's green.
We live in a yellow house.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I get home
right.
Most of the time.
So is there a website people can go to find that information?
www.overbrookenvironmental.com.
Okay. And so are there classes that people can take?
Yeah, if you click on the Overbrook Art Center link, you'll see the list of our classes. And
what's the class that, you know, we have an 11-year-old. What would she love to be able to do?
She would like to do mosaics.
Oh, so, she would?
Yes, you are right.
A summer mosaic class.
He's like a mind reader, too. You were right about
Chief Buckety
Buck.
And we tie that into the environment with helping children understand that through managing solid waste, you can also create art.
Managing solid
waste. Yeah, so the cups that you want to just throw out, the plates that you want to throw out, the cracked ceramic bowl, instead of putting that into the waste stream, making that trash, we can make that art.
I like it.
You just mentioned my two favorite phrases, waste stream and waste stream.
Uh-huh.
I'm fascinated by trash and what happens to it. Because that is one of the marks of a civilized society, what happens to our trash.
How do you manage your waste? Is indicative of your civilization.
You know what? And we do have to go to break. And I'm not just saying that because I want to get out of this conversation. We'll be back in a minute with more of My Fix It Up Life.
My moccasins screaming past. Speakers crackle songs that never last. But the FM static means I'm getting close to finding you. Then I grab the wheel, check the map, strap my belt, course correct, hit the gas and come back home to you. Won't be long, not far to go, change the route up as I go. Promised you I'd see this thing through. Yeah, course correct, myself back home. Lights of that town don't seem as bright now. The echoes of our street are calling me. Smiles on my mind as I fuel up one last time.
Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. Drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa. And a beautiful sunny day.
It is a beautiful sunny day, and we are here at one of the 10,000 projects that Rebuilding Together does every year.
That's right. This is their national project, though, and we've got some VIPs.
Some VIPs.
What's that book that Jack reads? It's a Dr. Seuss book. The Vipper of Vip.
The Vipper of Vip. We do. We have Vipper of Vips here with us at Rebuilding Together.
We do. So, Carter Oosterhouse, before you leave, welcome to our show.
Well, welcome to our show.
And I'm so glad that you brought your lovely wife, Amy, with you.
I know. I didn't bring her. She wanted to be here, all right? She was like, listen, if you're going to Philly, I'm going to Philly with you, and you're building a playground, I'm building a playground.
I like building playgrounds.
She's pretty adamant about
that. That is awesome, Amy.
Well, I really like
this
that.
This is great, and we can see the playground, which is sort of behind where we're set up, and it's beautiful. The thing's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, the whole idea behind building a playground is just, you know, getting kids aware, getting kids active, not sitting inside and being stagnant, and really curbing childhood obesity. And what we've learned over the years of building playgrounds is that it really brings a community level, a community sense of parents bringing their kids to play. And then they start talking, and then, hey, well, what are we doing over on this block? What are we doing over on that block? So there's just more than we really know, than we fully understand yet, to just building a playground where kids can play. And we're learning that as we go. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you see the kids running around, that's where it's all amazing.
Well, and it's such a cool organization, too. For everybody listening, you have to go to carter-kids.org and check it out.
Yep.
And, you know, because as a mommy person, and I always like to say that.
Mommy person. Okay, I got to check it off once every show.
But you do. You do, you know, connect with other families when you're out on the playground because you're standing there and you're watching your kids play and enjoy the playground. And what else do you have to do but there and socialize and meet other mommies other daddies, too. I don't want to leave the daddy people out.
See, we don't have kids yet, so we were a little slow on that uptake. We didn't realize
practice at all, we have to.
Okay.
That you want to just, you know,
yeah, if you're not busy, say, in 5 minutes.
Later, that would be, we would let you. That would be awesome.
Perfect.
If you want to do the experience of watching kids play on the playground, you can use ours.
Okay.
But you do also raise a very serious point and something that we care about very much, which is childhood obesity, you know, the general health and activity that we experience as kids that's declining. And I guess my question is, of all the things that you could build, renovate, do, why choose this one?
Well, I think, you know, I really knew that, you know, as a builder, I wanted to build something and I wanted to give back in some way. So I was building something. I was like, what am I going to do? What's going to be fun? What's going to be interesting? I was like, I knew I wanted to work with kids. And then it just seemed like, you know, playground was the natural fit, and I started looking into it. At first, there was no other reason simply because I'm a builder and I wanted to work with kids. That was the first and foremost. And then it became the childhood obesity, really realizing what we're taking on. Do you know kids are 400% more likely to be physically active if they have something attractive to play on? So 400%. So what we're saying essentially...
400%.
So what we're saying is that kids are going to sit home and be kids and play video games, watch TV, play on the computer. And they have so many other alternative things to do. But if they have something that's fun, you know, when they're looking outside and they have a playground that they want to play on, they're going to play on it. And they're going to be physically active and be kids and break their arms and get hurt and do all that fun stuff. But at the same time, that's what you want. And that's what we're trying to do. So like I said, I'll build a playground anywhere we can, we'll do it. If we're building one here today, we'll build one on the block across the street tomorrow.
So. Well, that is so good, too, because for the people in the Overbrook neighborhood where we are, now they have access to a playground.
Yeah.
Before, they didn't. So 400% more likely to get out there and play now than they did before.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to think we're competing with, like, not only video games and computers and TV, but also older playgrounds that, you know, remember when we were kids, we had the playgrounds that were, like, the metal slides and stuff?
Yes.
They were really so dangerous.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't remember back that far. Can you tell me what they were?
Well, then the playground sort of went away, and they just made them really boring. And now what we're seeing is that they're letting loose a bit more as far as what you can build and what you can have out there. And, I mean, these playgrounds they're big, they're fun, they're adventurous, and kids totally dig them.
And now you, Carter's Kids, your organization partners with Lowe's, and this year you're working with Rebuilding Together to build playgrounds, too. Mm-hmm. That is just really cool.
It's totally awesome. And it's all over the country. It's just here in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Is it where you live?
It's all over. In fact, in Los Angeles, we also work with the Environmental Media Association, and we help bring local gardens into the schools. And so we partnered up, and we put a really beautiful garden with a playground to even help enhance the community in Los Angeles. So we hope, obviously, they're already doing this here in this beautiful space.
Yes.
Having this amazing greenhouse.
So is, like, food and healthy eating part of, like, what you do personally? Because you're obviously both in great shape, but part of the organization, too?
For me, yes, definitely. I think, you know, it's a combination of having more of a holistic life. You know, getting back to the basics of having, you know, clean, green cleaning products and eating organic and starting to just eating whole foods and having great physical activity, just sort of the basics of having healthy kids and healthy people.
Right. Well, I can tell you now you're preaching to the converted, because we talk about this stuff in our house
all the time.
Our 11-year-old goes to school, and it's like, what kind of meat product can you compress into a nugget and pass off as lunch?
School, though, too, is that candy. They feed our 11-year-old candy during tests, you know, like the state tests.
Yeah.
They, like, actually try to get the kids to stay awake and stay all excited to be taking this. They actually encourage them to eat junk food.
Isn't that crazy?
In school.
Wow.
That is crazy.
I mean, if you tried to do that when I was a child, you wouldn't be allowed to.
We could have a soda on field day.
Oh.
I mean, that was our whole
thing.
That
was, like, a big treat.
That's so crazy.
The accessibility, like, they can have so much access to junk food these days that just blows my mind.
But to change the subject just a little, and
you can
maybe
tell
to
we're
put,
very excited
No, I like it.
put you on the spot a little, and to pick up a theme, you're both in great shape. What do you do to, like, exercise and stay active?
Thank you.
You don't look bad yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look at you.
Awesome! Guys. It worked! It worked! Somebody get that on. Somebody take a picture of her saying that. I'm sorry, George, is that equipment on? Yeah, okay, good.
That's going to be his new ringtone.
Yeah.
A little creepy.
You should hear my other ringtone.
Can
she answer the question?
Oh, go ahead.
Is that possible?
Thank you.
Like,
what do
you
we do
ride,
to stay in shape?
Like, you ride your bike, go to the gym.
We kind of do a little. I do some yoga. I do some fun exercise classes. Go running, hiking, tennis.
Yeah, just general knocking around.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just kind of stay busy. I run a lot, but I haven't as of late. But I do. I run a lot, and I try to stay busy and you know, do yoga with her, meditate with her, and stuff like that, you know. Just the random stuff. We try to just switch it up. Like,
just
there's no normalcy in our lives.
Well, and I think for, you know, busy people and busy families, you know, just trying to fit in 5 minutes, 10 minutes here at a time is really makes more sense for most people.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that maybe perhaps you travel a little bit.
Travel all
just
the time.
A little.
Do you work out in an airplane
seat?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's I travel because the new show that we're shooting for HGTV, which is called Million Dollar Rooms, we travel all the time because we have to go to somebody's home to see their million-dollar room. So we travel quite a bit. If you heard the schedule, I think I put last month like 30,000 miles in a plane for 1 month. And the month before that was 25,000 miles. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty hectic, but I love it. I love doing it. I get a lot of crazy ideas. I try to bring some of the ideas back to our home. Then I realized we don't have that much money, so
we're not making our own million-dollar room.
Well, and fitting a 4-foot plaster crown molding
exactly,
in your townhouse.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, Million Dollar Rooms is on HGTV, and it's Tuesday nights at 8:30.
Yeah, Tuesday night at 8:30.
East Coast time.
Wow, you're good. I like that.
Oh, she is fast.
Yes.
I try.
Impressive. Yes. Impressive.
Of all the rooms that you've seen so far, and I'm not asking you to spill the beans on the new stuff, but. Mm-hmm. What's just the most out there? Like, you walk through and you're like, okay, I get that it's $1 million, but why would you do it? Kind of room.
Okay, so one, which has not aired yet, it's a house. It's on a 40-story building in Miami, and it's a 3-story house on a 40-story building in downtown Miami. And it's all plaster, like the Taj Mahal. It's a replica of the Taj Mahal. So you walk in, and I think it was – this sounds ridiculous, but it was – and. People at home don't think of me as any different, but it was a $13 million room, 2,000 square foot room, because they spent 2 years 40 people working on the home. But that's, I mean,
and
look,
it hasn't aired yet.
They must have spent a year bringing it up the elevator.
Oh. It was crazy to see it, but it was more so the detail, because the detail they had these guys come in and they literally used chisels and knives and just chiseled all the plaster away for 2 years.
And you don't want to bring that back home to your wife?
That part, no.
Seriously, did you, like, back up against the wall and try to break a sconce off? Baby, look
at that. I got you a souvenir.
For you.
So, it's a $5,000.
Totally stolen.
Yeah.
I'll never miss
it. Right? Exactly.
This big.
So that's my next question. What have you stolen?
Yes, I everything.
That's a good
question.
Can you imagine?
Come back with a fork.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah, exactly.
It's $10,000 fork, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is our mortgage.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Now, that is so amazing.
The other side of that coin, the room that you walked into and you're just like, wow, like this is just what it's all about.
Whew, that's tough. I mean, you know, a lot of these homes that we shoot are just, they're over the top, they're elaborate. You know, it's the lifestyles of the rich and famous, you know, times 10. I mean, because it really is. It's just like, people who've had a lot of money, who've been very successful in their lives, and maybe they want to sell their home or show it off, and we focus on it, and we shoot it, and we get unprecedented access into these homes that nobody would ever have a chance or the opportunity to get into, and we're getting into a lot of really cool spaces. And so,
have you seen like a $1 million playground, bringing it all back?
Look at that.
No.
Bam! No.
I think they should. We're working on that. They need to be scouting for that. And then you could do a Carter's Kids.
I know.
$1 million.
I should be working
thing.
On that
yes.
right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well,
can
I'm
you imagine
that down.
$1 million playground?
$1 million playground would be.
Diamonds encrusted into the.
It would
inspire. Oh, yeah, it would be platinum. Oh, yeah. Platinum right? slides. That'd I mean, talk cool. about those.
Like real
metal
roller
slides.
Coasters.
Yeah, that's right.
Seriously. Yeah, it's probably like 6 flights.
And unfortunately, we have to. Roller coaster into a break.
So go to carters-kid.org and follow them. Follow Carter on Twitter.
Yes.
C_Oosterhouse. Check him out on Facebook.
Check out his website, carteroosterhouse.com, and follow us into a break. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Ain't no job that's too small. A change of bulb and a patch of wall. If it's loose, I'll make it tight. That's right. Cork a tub, stop a leak. I can do anything you need. Yes, ma'am. I'm your fix-it man.
The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement. 2 years after his father's death, Brendan is staring down the barrel of a divorce. He leaves his daughters in collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise his father made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping him with his own life.
I reach for my tape more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter rather than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a very rich and unique story. Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that great wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
It's an inconsequential job I work. They wouldn't know my name if it wasn't on my shirt. I ain't rich and famous, or I'd stand in my field. But in my own backyard, I'm a pretty big deal.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa.
Yeah.
And the sounds and activities of rebuilding together.
Rebuilding together in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia. This is the national project.
It is a national project, and it's pretty exciting that it's here in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's fantastic that this work gets done wherever it gets done.
Well, and the good thing about Rebuilding Together, they've been around for more than 30 years, and there's more than 200,000 volunteers around the country. So if you're inspired by what we're talking about today, you should go online, rebuildingtogether.org, and find out where you can volunteer for a project that's near you.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
And I'm going to go all high-minded right now and say it's the mark of a civilized society where those that have can give back to those that need. That's right. I said it.
Well, and we're joined by another good organization right now, too.
Rockin', if you will.
A rockin' good organization. The Jon Bon Jovi Soul Foundation. You guys are involved with this Rebuilding Together project. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you. Yes, we are very involved. Glad to be a part of it.
And we're joined by Mimi and Heather. And you know, you guys do a lot of projects around the country with the Jon Bon Jovi Foundation. And there was just an award that was given out recently, too, in New York that you went up for.
Yes. On Monday night, we received the Covenant House International's Beacon of Hope Award. And Jon Bon Jovi and Leo Carlin from our foundation were honored and accepted the award on our behalf.
That is so exciting.
It was very exciting. It was a phenomenal night.
And that is also strangely parallel universe, because I won't say how many years ago, when Covenant House was, I think, a young organization, their principal spoke at my college graduation.
Oh, gosh, fantastic.
Wow. Yes.
That's a full circle.
That's the same thing. Even.
It's funny that we all know the same people. That's spectacular.
That's right, right, right.
And for everyone listening, you want to go on Jon Bon Jovi soulfoundation.org and check out the information while we're talking about it.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, and while John himself grew up in this area, in the Philadelphia region, New Jersey, that kind of thing, it is a national organization, so it's not just located here. And Mimi, could you actually speak more to that a little bit?
Sure. First of all, with Jon Bon Jovi soulfoundation.org, Heather has already posted some pictures from this event, the volunteers that were out here yesterday.
Yep, all the photos from yesterday. Not yet, but we'll make sure we get you out there.
It felt like we had 200,000 right here on site yesterday. It was amazing, just as today also. But no, the Soul Foundation is an organization that helps people that are experiencing economic difficulty. And primarily our focus has been on homelessness, housing, and hunger. We do work throughout the country. We've worked in California, Los Angeles, Colorado, Atlanta, Detroit. A lot of work in Philadelphia with Project Home and Sister Mary Scullion and Joan McConnon's organization. And also a lot of work across the river in New Jersey. We've done work in Camden as well as Newark.
So if you're listening around the country, it could be easy to get involved with your organization specifically if you live anywhere that's not Philadelphia.
We don't do volunteer programs or projects around the country on an ongoing basis, but whenever we do, we certainly... Heather will put it on the website.
Yeah, we have it up on our website. We have a volunteer section. And even if it's not a project we're specifically running, if we have a community partner, for example, we partnered in Detroit with Habitat for Humanity, they're always looking for volunteers. So we do have their link up on their website. So even if it's not something we're directly working on at the moment, we have plenty of volunteer opportunities from our community partners that we've worked with in the past.
And you tweet that out, too. So you guys follow you guys on Twitter at JBJSoulFound. Soul Found.
Yep.
Yes. We follow you.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank
you.
That's terrific. Now, John himself, he could, like any person who's achieved his level of achievement and fame and notoriety and so forth, could apply his philanthropic nature to anything, kids in Africa, the environment, you know, whatever it is. Why is it this?
You know, and they're all really great missions and projects that others work on. But as you know, being in the nonprofit world, you have to narrow your focus. So our focus being homelessness, housing, and hunger first started through his noticing a homeless person here in Philadelphia huddled up against the walls of City Hall one cold winter night. And he thought, now there's a problem to which I might be able to help with the solution.
Wow.
And it was that moment when he was, you know, in a warm hotel room looking out, thinking that might be something he could affect.
Now,
and he has.
Listening to you, I feel there's a song there.
Was there a song that's developed out of that?
Actually, I'm not sure about that
specifically. Because it's very poetic listening to you describe that.
And without going taking that too far, I can actually hear the emotion in your voice.
Yes.
Like, you don't just work there. You're committed to this idea. I can feel it. I don't even have to
ask.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, but definitely.
It's wonderful. Heather, I'm not so sure about you.
She tweets. You don't get her voice.
Oh, Mark.
Heather,
really?
How did you come to this whole thing?
And thanks for staying with us throughout the entire interview and not leaving.
Because
I would totally be okay if you left right now.
That would have been one of those, like, you know, on the
View. He offends a lot of people.
Where people put their stuff down and leave.
And leave, yeah.
No, not at all. I actually started working for the Philadelphia Soul Arena football team, and I did their marketing and community relations. And when the league suspended operation at the end of 2008, I was the last one still at the office, and I had worked with Mimi a lot, and she was the only one at the foundation working, and so asked if I would come on board, and I gladly accepted. It's my first experience in nonprofit, but I absolutely love it, believe very strongly in our mission, and I've been there since 2009, so I love it.
So we could sum that up as last man standing, and I grabbed her.
And I'm very glad
you were
that
the
happened.
Only one working there at that time.
Yes, I had just started the foundation a couple years prior to that, and John had asked me to stay. John and the board of directors had asked me to stay on as the original executive director. So originally, I was doing everything myself. Yes, finding projects in which we would get involved. Copying, you know, doing everything, trying to do social media. Thank you, Heather, for coming in. But, no, it was a one-person show there for just the first couple years getting started.
Can you we don't know anything about that.
Can you describe, you know, what you guys have been able to achieve, you know, to accomplish your mission? You know, do you know how many people you've touched and, you know, what has come of what you've done?
You know, we've just passed our sixth year mark. We're in our sixth year,
In our sixth year now.
So at that time, we kind of took a step back and looked at the number of houses that we had done. And we've participated in, you know, over 300 units of housing for people around the country.
Wow.
And I said to Heather, I think it's time now for us to go back to visit the people whose lives we thought we would be affecting by renovating their house or providing a new home for them. And let's get their personal stories. So she's actually in the process of gathering some of that information now.
Oh, that is really good. Yeah. So you're traveling around the country and you're gathering up these stories and you're going to probably put them on the website.
Yep, that's our goal. That's what I'm working on right now with all the partners we've worked with in the past is to reach out to the homeowners. And as long as they're willing to speak to us, you know, get their stories and see, you know, how their lives have changed.
Well, I want to check in with you after you gather all of those stories because, you know, it's one thing, you know, volunteering like a day like here for Rebuilding Together and helping the community, but then to see what happens after you leave.
Right. And that's what it's all about. When you walk the street of North 62nd Street here in Philadelphia, you know, I love to just stop and talk to the homeowners that are standing outside their house and just watching the transformation. But it's an entire neighborhood transformation. I mean, when all the trucks pull away and all the pods are emptied and furniture put back in their homes, when you walk down that street, it won't be recognizable as what it was.
That's the thing, too, is that they're all coming out of their house, too. And I imagine that neighbors are meeting neighbors that they haven't met before.
Absolutely.
Or spent this much time with each other.
A lot of interaction over there. It's great.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And what you were saying about, you know, when the trucks pull away and you know, you sort of go back to where it all started. Is that really like the real first day of the project? Because now they have what they need to do what they need to do.
They have healthy homes. They have homes in which they can raise. Sometimes there's three generations of a family living in one of those homes. So they have the ability to move on with their life and not have to worry about, do I pay for the repair to my roof or do I, you know, feed the grandchildren? So, you know, those choices will be removed from their lives.
That's not a choice I want to have to make.
No, that's not a choice that anybody should have to make.
Right. And I want to ask this question, too, and I don't mean to be too dramatic, but I kind of have been – we visited here at the Overbrook Center where this is happening – with your organization and Rebuilding Together. And I kind of see a line something in the case of the Overbrook Center that was about to be nothing, but now it's something. And in your projects around the country, do you see that as sort of a doorstop for neighborhood from slipping off the edge? When you see a nothing, you make it something, and that starts to turn the corner?
Absolutely. And, you know, there are certain elements that we look for in every project that we do. And obviously housing is one of them. But another critical element are the wraparound services and the commitment that the community themselves are willing to make to what's happening. And, you know, if you've met Jerome, you know the commitment that's being made to the center.
Now, and Heather, when since you've joined this organization and when you're walking around in your regular life, are you... Do you look at neighborhoods in a different way now? And do you see an opportunity for, you know, a neighborhood to get better or a house to get better or a family? I mean, has it changed your outlook on the way you're seeing the world?
Oh, it definitely has. And, you know, on a daily basis, you walk around, especially, you know, down in Center City, and when you leave, you know, our office is right there. So when you kind of branch out a little bit from the city and, you know, you see people in need and you think, you know, how can I help and who can we reach out to? And, you know, running our website and all the emails we get on a daily basis and the stories that we hear, and you just want to be able to help, you know, and even if we can't do it directly, direct them to someone who can assist, who is in their community. So it definitely changes the way you look at things.
That's very cool.
That's incredible to see that you're both a direct participant and a clearinghouse, as it were, for other organizations to help these neighborhoods that are trying very hard to help themselves. And unfortunately, we have to help ourselves to a break. So follow the John Bon Jovi Soul Foundation on Twitter, check them out on Facebook, and visit their website, johnbonjovisoulfoundation.org.
And we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
But in my own backyard, I'm a pretty big deal. Every time I hit a wiffle ball clear across the street, my kids all yell and scream like that's a super...
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
Breathe it in without a clue.
Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my beautiful wife Tracy.
Ooh,
you look great today.
I do.
Okay, you're back inside my Fix It Up
Life.
For real
now.
Okay, that first one was just a test. We rented that one. Now, this one we're gonna buy. That was a test drive.
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa.
And thanks for bearing with me today and doing our radio show and not actually being tool belted up.
You know, I honestly have to say, as much as I love doing my Fix It Up Life and all this stuff that we do, I hear impact drivers in the background, there's layout going on.
A little jealousy.
We're building a bridge and I want to be there too.
Well, you can't yet.
Not yet.
In a few minutes. But I have to say, we're at Rebuilding Together. It's Overbrook Project right now in Philadelphia. So stop on down if you're listening on WCHE 1520 right now.
That's right.
And if you're listening online, go to rebuildingtogether.org and find out you can help it with a project that's near you.
That's right. And we are also joined by Rebuilding Together's Executive Director of Business Development. Do I have that quite right?
Close enough.
Okay. John White. John, welcome to my Fix It Up Live.
Glad to be with you.
I'm glad that you could take a break from working today and to hang out with us and sit down and have a little chat.
Well, there's a lot of activity going
yes.
on in the Overbrook neighborhood, and it's our honor to be here and serve low-income homeowners with home repair and home modifications.
And what have you seen here in Philadelphia?
That was my question.
Oh, you go ahead.
Pretend like I didn't say it.
No, please finish, my dear.
What have you seen in Philadelphia that has, you know, been different or special or unique to Philadelphia?
I think it's
for
the
Rebuilding Together project.
Well, I think it's the people.
Okay.
I think it's the homeowners in the Overbrook neighborhood. I've done a lot of projects in my time with Rebuilding Together, and I don't think I've been hugged and thanked more than here in Philadelphia. A wonderful neighborhood, wonderful homeowners who have welcomed complete strangers into their homes. And the project that we're doing, Building a Healthy Neighborhood, where we're rehabbing 30 homes in the Overbrook neighborhood, is really emblematic of the work of Rebuilding Together across the country. We are an organization of 200 affiliates across the country that collectively repair and rehabilitate over 10,000 homes a year. And in this country, there are over 22 million low-income homeowners in need of home repair and rehabilitation work, and it's just an honor for us to be here.
Wow. You mean you guys are doing definitely a dent to help those people?
Well, we're trying, and it's really a partnership between corporate America, folks like Lowe's and Sears and Choice Hotels and Honeywell that support Rebuilding Together, foundations like the JBJ Soul Foundation here in Philadelphia.
The John Bon Jovi Soul Foundation. Just
got to,
like, drop that name right there.
John Bon Jovi.
Oh, I'm sorry, Teresa, you dropped something. Fun.
Lowe's is a wonderful sponsor of this event. And then combined with civic groups and neighborhood associations and just volunteers walking up on the street. We have volunteers here who have driven from Florida and Michigan to be part of this initiative, and they're just wonderful people. At its very core, it's just one neighbor helping another neighbor.
Well, and if you are out in Philadelphia, you need to stop by the Overbrook neighborhood and just see all of the work that's being done. I mean, 30 houses, if you can think about that in your brain, but it's kind of cool to be able to see all of these people out with 1,000 volunteers, Carrie was saying, from Rebuilding Together Philadelphia, have been out helping. And just to see all of the people out and the activity, it's inspiring. You know, you want to bring that back to your neighborhood and help neighbors and the whole thing, too. So I think it's going to grow exponentially.
Well, we do, too. And that's our hope. What we want to leave is a legacy here in Philadelphia and excite volunteers to want to do more. And it could be working for any number of nonprofit organizations here in Philadelphia. But our business is housing, and our business is home rehab, and we've had a wonderful stay here in Philadelphia, and the people couldn't have been warmer.
Wow.
Well, I like that we're like the huggiest city that you've been to.
Brotherly love.
It's true. We're serious.
Hey, perfect stranger, come here.
I'm going to
hug you right
now.
Name. Just for the record, there's no one on the other side of that camera.
Nobody wants that hug, honey.
That's called a threat hug.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, yes. You better hug me.
Well, it's like that comedian who says that the best defense against a bully is to, like, ask them for a hug, because nobody wants to fight somebody who wants to give them a hug.
I'll take that with me.
Yes.
That's good advice.
Good advice to give your kids, to get them to not fight.
That is good. So from... we know that Rebuilding Together works on and improves thousands and thousands of homes across the country every year with the independent affiliates.
10,000 projects a year.
So forth. How many of them are neighborhood-focused builds like this one?
Mm-hmm. More and more of them are cluster builds, we like to call them, because not only do we want to help the individual homeowner, but we want to make a sustainable difference in the community in which they live. And so if we can concentrate projects in a tighter area, do streetscapes, community cleanups, in addition to the home repair and rehabilitation work we do, we're really revitalizing a neighborhood, and that's very impactful.
And does that have, or have you been able to measure, I guess, is a question, the question, sort of an order of magnitude where that is more effective, less effective, different than just going in someone's house and replacing a stove?
Well, what we see is it energizes a community. And after we have left, there's a spillover effect. And other neighbors in the neighborhood take on their own initiative to fix up their homes and to help other neighbors in the neighborhood fix up their homes. So there's a definite legacy gift, if you will, after the project is completed in a particular neighborhood.
Right. So what I heard is
that
you
legacy,
spill a lot of paint.
I heard legacy gift. I'm going to use that. I love that phrasing. That's beautiful.
Now, from the build that you've you've been toured every place around this build so far. What has there been one thing, one story, one person, one project that's touched you or kind of said, gotten you to say, wow, I'm glad I do this for a living?
Well, you know, I think here in Philadelphia, the partnership with the Overbrook Environmental Education Center and the wonderful work that Jerome Shabazz is doing, this is a very special neighborhood. These are very special people that live here. And, you know, I've done a lot of projects around the country, and here there is genuine caring for the neighborhood. The neighbors know one another. They are very giving, and I can't think of a – and in fact, I will say in 20 years with Rebuilding Together, this is probably one of the highlights of my career, coming here and working on this project.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
I'm moved.
And speaking of the 20 years with Rebuilding Together, and I know I have trouble remembering back that far, but how did you come to all this? Like, this is – you know, you're not a dentist. You're not an accountant. You really had to seek this kind of life out.
Well, I stumbled on Rebuilding Together as a volunteer. In my former life, I worked in the commercial insurance business and volunteered for this group called Rebuilding Together. I had taken some adult ed carpentry courses and thought of myself as being very handy. I learned later that I wasn't. but that's how I learned about Rebuilding Together. And I volunteered at time for them and was hired. I was the third hire at the national office in Washington,
really?
D.C. 20 years ago.
Number three.
Right.
Wow.
And back then, we had about 35 affiliates across the country, and now we have over 200, and, you know, we want to do more. We'd like to see Rebuilding Together affiliates in just about every county across the country because the need is so great.
And I think it's just such a wonderful organization, too, doing good things to help neighborhoods that, you know, having a little bit of trouble, you know, getting to that next step and trying to do stuff themselves,
the
you know,
next,
and giving.
The next step for us,
unfortunately,
is a break. John White from Rebuilding Together.
RebuildingTogether.org, and we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
Might be the white dress walking up to me. Might be sunrise in a sky blue sea. Might be the holder of my front door key, and I'd like to wait and see.
Mark, we're getting a lot of questions about windows.
It's true, and I'm telling everyone to visit Simonson.com for the answers. They have tons of free materials and everything from lead-safe window replacement details to understanding condensation in their homes.
You'll also find help in figuring out the best time to replace your windows and how to select vinyl windows that add to your home's curb appeal.
Just visit Simonton.com for all the answers to your window questions.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. So glad to walk through the door tonight into my fix-it-up life. This is my fix-it-up life. This is my fix-it-up life. This is my fix-it-up
Fix It Up Live with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark. And we're at the end of our show.
We are. And, you know, I want to say a special shout-out to Andy Doyle, DoyleRemodeling.com.
Yes.
Who has devoted...
He's not only a handsome man, but he's a handyman, too. Right?
I got nothing left.
All right.
And we're just going to bring the rest of the show.
If you see Doyle Remodeling van driving by you in the Philadelphia area, give him a wave.
Hire Doyle Remodeling.
At DoyleRemodeling.com.
They'll build you a deck.
But
honest,
go to MyFixItUp.
Good prices.
What about us? MyFixItUpLife.com. You have to go and enter to win that Troy built lawn tractor. Click on free stuff.
Check us out on Facebook.
Yes.
Watch our videos on YouTube.
Yes, follow us on Twitter.
See what we pinned on Pinterest.
Oh, good.
Hi.
And you know what? Check out all of our episodes of My Fix It Up Life on iTunes and on Blog Talk Radio.
Follow us on Twitter.
We already said that, but you know what you need to do?
Check in next week
for more My Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door tonight into my fix it up life.